Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
It's just quite quirky and quite fun, and it says, How to be a Mum in 2017. Lisa Bevere shared it from Janet Conley. And it says, Make sure your children's academic, emotional, psychological, mental, spiritual, physical, nutritional, and social needs are met while being careful not to overstimulate, understimulate, improperly medicate, helicopter, or neglect them in a screen-free, process-free, GMO-free, negative energy-free, plastic-free, body-positive, socially conscious, egalitarian, but also authoritative, nurturing, but prospering of independence, gentle but not overly permissive, pesticide-free, two-story, multilingual home, preferably in a cul-de-sac with a backyard and 1.5 siblings, spaced at least 2 years apart for proper development. And also, don't forget the coconut oil, okay? How to be a mum in literally every generation before ours? Feed them sometimes. How simple and how easy is that to do that? Yeah, so as we celebrate mums today, just remember that, that's how to be a mum on Mother's Day. Amen? Hang on, what? What else is there? And what else are we celebrating today? We are also celebrating today Pastor Lou and Robin's 40th wedding anniversary. So we want to say bless you and thank you, and here are some beautiful flowers. Are you gonna, they're heavy. It's heavy. You got it? Yeah. We love you as a church, and we just wanted to honour you and bless you and say thank you for all that you're doing and all that you do, and happy 40th wedding anniversary. That's the ruby. So is there any ruby rings on your fingers? Or, oh, come on. It's two things in one, but congratulations to you both. Thank you. What a blessing they are to the body of Christ. Amen. Just get rid of my mobile phone. Can't have a distraction. Now you faith champions can go out. Hallelujah. Mother's Day. Can I just quickly read Proverbs 31? We all know it. Well, most of us should. Most of us try and set our lives to it. From verses 10 through to 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is still yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that the merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, yet she reaches out to the hands of the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honour are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. How do I apply Proverbs 31 to my life? Don't worry, fellas, this is not all about Proverbs 31 today, all right? I just want to set some honour the mums today. Remember that you are worthy of God's grace. We want to be true, truthful and faithful. We want to love others and be good to others and pray for others. We want to work hard in everything that we do. We wake up early and start the day with God, praying every day and praising the Lord every day. We want to study and learn to enrich our life with the knowledge and understanding and become well-rounded in our skills. We want to take advantage of opportunities in business, helping others and caring for others. We want to be strong and endure hard times. Put your faith in God to help you when you feel lost and alone. Love and honour yourself. Dress well, exercise and behave well. Find a husband who shares your values and love of God. Fear God and honour him in all things. Remember that you are praiseworthy and you will be rewarded for your work. Now there's three things that I didn't know about the Proverbs 31. And number one is that Proverbs 31 is a poem. The subject of a 22-line poem in the last chapter of Proverbs is the woman of noble character. It is meant to be a tangible expression of the book's celebrated virtue of wisdom. The author is showing us what wisdom looks like in action. Packed with hyperbolic and militaristic imaginary, I looked up those words and they still didn't make any sense, but I thought I'd read them anyway, someone might know what they mean. The poem is acrostic. So the first word of each verse begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet in succession. This is a sense of totality as the poet praises the everyday achievements of an upper-class Jewish wife, a woman who keeps her home functioning day and night by buying, trading, investing, planting, sowing, managing servants, extending charity, providing food for the family, and preparing for different seasons. The purpose of this poem is to draw attention to the often overlooked glory of every day. And as a poem, it should not be interpreted as a job description for all women. Its purpose is to celebrate wisdom in action. Not to instruct women everywhere to get married, have children and take up knitting or whatever else you want to do. So that's the first one. The second one, the target audience of Proverbs 31 is actually men. Didn't know that, did you? This has changed my whole thinking now. In Jewish culture, it's men, not women, who memorise Proverbs 31. They memorise it and sing it as a song of praise to the women in their lives, whether it be their wives, their mothers, their sisters, their daughters, or just female friends. They sing it. And I did hear it on my phone, and I said to Chris, do you think it's appropriate? Couldn't understand a word he said because it was all in Hebrew. But it was quite touching that's what they do. The men sing it to the women. So the instructive language in the poem is directed at the male, to praise her for all her hands, for all that what her hands have done. Many Christians have interpreted this as a command rather than an ode to women. And so, therefore, putting pressure on the woman to become the perfect woman, to be that Proverbs 31 that the Christian circles always talk about. And I never felt that I really measured up to any of what she does. It's not presented as a song, though, which a man offers a woman praise. Proverbs 31 presented is like a task list through which we women try to aspire to, and it changes our whole meaning of that text. So see that differently now, women. It's an ode to us, not a command to us. And number three, Proverbs 31 celebrates valour. First line of Proverbs 31 poem, a virtuous woman who can find, is best translated, a woman of valour. who can find. The Hebrew, Eshet Chael, I'm not sure on all that, is woman of valor. And the male equivalent is Gibor Chael, and that's man of valor. Have we ever seen ourselves as women of valor, a virtuous woman, celebrating in each other's victories, celebrating pregnancies, celebrating jobs, celebrating victories of wellness and health, overcoming fears and the battles, and testimonies like this morning, just in healing, in your dad, you know, something happening and that breakthrough in prayer. We need to celebrate with a hearty Eshet Chael, which is translated today, you go, girlfriend. Come on, we've got this. We've got it made. And that is celebrating being a woman of valor. Valor isn't about what you do, but how you do it. If you are a working mum, be a working mum of valor. If you are a pastor's wife, Pastor Robin's not here, be that of valor. If you are a grandma or a nana, be that of valor. If you are a barista, be that of valor. If you are rich or poor, single or married, be that of valor. So maybe now, women of valor, we can look at Proverbs 31 to provide a fun way to celebrate all the daily acts of faithfulness exhibited by the women in your own lives. This better reflects the original intent of Proverbs 31 and therefore honours the scripture well. There are many other women in the Bible who receive high praise of as being women of valour. There is Ruth. In Ruth 3:11 it says, all the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Ruth is known as a woman of valour, not because she checked off the Proverbs 31 checklist, but because she lived her life with bravery, with wisdom, and with strength. She lived her life with valour. Some of the other women in the Bible who are women of valour, there's Sarah, there's Deborah, there's Esther, there's Mary Magdalene, there's Mary of Bethany, there's Mary of Nazareth, Martha, Priscilla, and Phoebe, and Tabitha, just to name a few. And when I look around the room today, I see many women of valour, whether they be younger, whether they're in the middle, whether they're senior, who can change the world, your world, around them. You have unique gifts, insights, passions, and callings to bring hope and healing to your world, to those around you. Now, that was just my introduction, okay? That's the end of the Proverbs 31, all right? So it was like, true wisdom, though, does come from God, and it is wisdom that I want to talk about this morning. And what I want to look at is that wisdom from God. God is awesome, he's amazing, and if we can all turn to James chapter 3. You all thought I was going to go to the book of Proverbs for wisdom, didn't you? There is so much in the book of Proverbs. But today I want to go to James chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything else are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So verse 17 tells us that wisdom is from above. Firstly, it's pure. This is how you know whether you've got the wisdom of God or whether you're walking in wisdom. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And just to turn back to James 1, 2 to 5, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, to you." So if any of us lack wisdom, we need to ask God. He's ready, he's willing, and he is able to give you the wisdom that you need in any situation. Amen. The New Living Translation says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not even rebuke you for asking." When I read that, I was reminded of Ruth, because she always talks about our generous God, our great God, our loving God. But it just resonated in my spirit that our generous God. And Ruth, it just reminded me of you. So when you fall into various trials, what do you do? What do we do? Do we run to the pastor to get prayer? There's nothing wrong with that. If you're struggling in an area and you're finding you're not getting the breakthrough, Pastor Lou and Robin would be happy to pray. And anyone else, for that matter, that you would trust, I'm sure they would be happy to pray. What do we do? Do we worry about it? You will pray about it. Do this and... hang on, what have I done here? So I told you this was... Chris said, "Can you read your own writing?" I said, "Of course I can." Wisdom is what we should be asking God. Not money, not power, and not even healing, if that's what you need. It's God's wisdom that we need in every area of our life. And God's wisdom will unlock the doors that you need breakthrough in. It will turn failure into success. It will turn fear into faith. It will turn sickness into health, etc., etc. And I'm sure I've wasted a lot of time worrying, begging God, overthinking things, when all I really need to do is spend some time listening to what Holy Spirit is saying and what the Word has to say about the situation. You don't even have to wait for a various trial. We can go to the Word, we can be ready, and we can be prepared. And I'm sure most of you already are, because I know that you all love the Word and that you're in the Word. And maybe you've been struggling with something for a while, not getting a breakthrough, not seeing light at the end of the tunnel. I have three keys this morning that may just help you. The first one is, lay out the entire problem before the Lord. Not because he doesn't know it, but because sometimes laying things out or telling God or telling anybody, you get a different perspective on it. So when you lay it out, it actually helps you. It doesn't help God, but it helps you. It helps you to see things from a more objective point of view. And when you explain the problem to God, point by point, it gives God opportunity to point out areas and for you to get a new perspective on things. And it's also good to seek wise counsel as well. It's in Proverbs that tells us about seeking wise counsel. So if you just might need to go and talk to someone, they might say one word and boom, you're right. You kind of go, hang on now, I've got this. Then you go to the Word and then you can be on the track. So lay out the entire problem before the Lord. Number two is listen for Holy Spirit to advise you. Pay attention. Give your attention to what the Word says through the written Word. Sorry, what he says through the written Word. More often than not, the care of your problem has choked the Word of God right out of your heart. And it talks about that in Mark 4, 18 and 19. And if that's the case, if you've let the cares of the world kind of pull you down, or you can't see past the problem, that's the cares of the world. That's not having this wise counsel or the wise wisdom from God. You need to get back into the Word. We need the Bible and begin to put that Word back into our heart and into our lives again, and into the situation that you need that breakthrough in. And as you're listening, Holy Spirit will begin to speak through the word. And be sure to remain teachable. Be ready to accept rebuke if that's what it needs to be. Be honest with God. Look for ways in which you've been wrong and confess them to Him. And that's okay. God knows that. Sometimes, again, it's for our benefit. God already knows, but it's for our benefit to have it clean, that you say, no, God, I've repented of that and I'm moving on. Or to remind the devil, who's the liar, who tries to keep bringing things back to your remembrance. He's saying, no, 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 I've dealt with that and God has forgiven me of that. Sins are no surprise to God. He already knows about them. Confession gives us that opportunity to get rid of them and be clean. Don't you love how God loves us? How He leads us, how He guides us, how He wants good for us all the days of our lives. And number three is act on the wisdom God gives you. You may need to let go of your own methods and put His methods into operation. And what's that saying about if you want to change, you've got to make a change, but don't do the same thing and expect a different result. If you want to do something different, make sure you do something different, and then you'll get a different result. So be obedient. If you aren't, the wisdom won't do you any good at all. Obedience is all through the Bible. So as you pray, set aside your own ideas and your own agenda and start seeking the wisdom of God. Wisdom can help you permanently solve any problems you've been facing. And it's a precious gift that God has given to us. Seek His wisdom. His word is full of it. Be wise in your words. Be wise in your actions. And do you know, God needs us to be wise. The world needs us to be wise. We need us to be wise. You know, and that's why we need the Word of God. So can we just turn now to 1 Kings chapter 3? Of course, you can't talk about wisdom and not talk about Solomon. Don't you love it when you get great revelation? I said to Chris on yesterday, he'd gone out to shear a sheep for someone. And I really wanted to, I had so much home I wanted to do. You know how sometimes you know, I'd spent time with God, I'd done that, but I knew I had a lot of stuff that I wanted to put on paper and have it go right in my book. And so Chris had gone off and I really needed to get some makeup. I'd run out and I knew the chemist was down the road. It was a quick walk down to the chemist. I could have done that. And it was like, No, just sit down. You know the right thing to do, but your thoughts are telling you to do something else and almost pressuring you to go and get that makeup. Anyway, so no, got my book, got my Bible, got all my notes, and I sat. And it just flowed and it flowed and it flowed and it flowed. And I was really happy about that. Chris came home and I said, oh, we've got to go up the street and blah, blah, blah. So we had to go to the Woolies complex, so we went in there. And while we're walking around, I'm like, just before we go to National Pharmacies, because they have the same makeup in Big W, so I'm like, well, just check in there. Went in there, and they had 40% off. And I was like, God, you're so good. I could have so walked and got some for a little bit off instead of getting it nearly half price. So God was good to me. Look, that's only little, I know, but in a sense, it showed me the obedience of listening to the Lord and having this prepared for today, for you people. Anyway, so we're up to 1 Kings 3, and I'll read from verses 1 to 15. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places, because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night And God said, just before we go on there, talk about a light on moment. I'm like, I didn't know that God got that through a dream. Solomon got that through a dream. I was like, I thought they just had a conversation. I didn't realise it was a dream. Didn't realise he was asleep. Pastor, I don't know how many people I've heard preach on it. And I'm going, really? Oh, that was a boing, lights on moment. Because my daughter-in-law, Joanne, had been talking about, she's been listening to a lot of things about dreams. And I'm going, oh, is that biblical? Like, oh, you know, you hear of dreams in the Bible. But then it was like, and I guess I was a bit blasé with her a little bit. And I was like, but when I read that yesterday, it's gone, boing. God spoke to Solomon in a dream at night. And I was like, wow, God. Anyway, that was my lights on moment. And God said, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, with whom you have chosen a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding of heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked such a thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, and shall not any like you arise after. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honour, and there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all of your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. And then we know he went on straight away. He was tested about two women and their children. Solomon asks for the wisdom of God, and this pleases God in a dream. God speaks in dreams. And we know that Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs. And it's not just a collection of wise sayings. It's a collection of collections. The book's purpose statement, if we can turn to Proverbs now, in Proverbs 1. And verses 2 to 4. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So just there it indicates that there's a certain desire and impartation of wisdom. And the theme also is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that's in Proverbs 9:10. Wisdom is the ability to judge and act according to God's directions. It is the most valuable of assets, and wisdom is available to anyone, but the price is high. So again, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God in any situation. Wisdom originates in God, not self, and comes by attention to instruction, and that's obedience to what the Word would say. Wisdom and righteousness go together. It is good to be wise, and it's wise to be good. Amen. Evil men suffer the consequences of their evil deeds. And the simple, the fool, the lazy, the ignorant, the proud, the sinful are never to be admired. So many people in the world, don't they? They admire their fellows and, you know, they're not what they need to be. They're not people that should be admired, yet they are. There are many contrasts found again. There's wisdom versus folly, righteousness versus wickedness, good versus evil, which you see in lots of movies, whether they're children's movies, whether they're adult movies. There's always good versus evil, life versus death, prosperity versus poverty, honour versus dishonour, permanence versus transience, truth versus falsehood, friend versus enemy, industry versus indolence, prudence versus rashness, fidelity versus adultery, peace versus violence, goodwill versus anger, and God versus man. The wisdom contained in the book of Proverbs is as relevant today as when it was written. Is that right? We need all the Proverbs today, don't we, to keep us where God wants us to be. The book of Proverbs also helps us with life values, which leads to character, which leads to wholeness and satisfaction. It also warns us about the pitfalls in life and helps us to develop a fear of the Lord. In 1:7 it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And I love it that there's 31 Proverbs. There's one for each day of the month. And I know a lot of people do read one for each day of the month. Just go over it and over it and over it. Then it gets into deep into your spirit. And wisdom is normally feminine throughout the book as well. Did you know that? It's quite often she's talked of, she and her. And if we'd like to have a look at Proverbs 8 just quickly, it talks about in 23 to 31. I think I'll start at verse 1. It says, "Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entry of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." And then it goes on through that. It talks about her, and that's that feminine one. And in some passages throughout, there are references to the description of Jesus, who was in the beginning with God, as we know, is the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1:30 it says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And in 1 Corinthians 1:24 it says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So through these points, it talks about the qualities of wisdom and the qualities of Christ, obedience to God and right behaviour, patience, reliability, humility, diligence, and the perception of things as they really are. And Jesus, our Saviour, is in them all as we go through them. There is wisdom throughout the Word and many scriptures. I encourage you to search them out for yourself. Know that our loving God has wisdom available to all who ask. And I'll just read through some. These are all from the book of Proverbs, unless I say it's in 3:13 it says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom." So if you're not happy, you mustn't have wisdom, perhaps, I don't know, but happy is the man who finds it. In 4:5 it says, get wisdom, get understanding. In chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold. 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. And he who keeps understanding will find good. And in Ecclesiastes, it says in chapter 9, verse 16, wisdom is better than strength. 17, words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard. And verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. And in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. So going through the book of Proverbs, there is so much more. There is scripture after scripture referring to wisdom. We know it's something that we desire and that we should seek after. Remember the three keys: to lay out, to listen, and to act, and you will lead a successful and wise life. In Proverbs 2:4-5, it says, for the Lord's wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk upright. It says in verse 2, incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. That's our part. That's what we do. We position ourselves to incline our ear, to listen, and to apply our heart. That's what we do. God has done all. Wisdom doesn't just happen. You don't wake up one day, boom, and be wise. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes, I'm sure we all wish it did, but it doesn't. It's not that simple. We need to incline our ear to God's word. We need to apply it in our hearts. God wants us to be wise. Why else would he talk about it so much in Scripture? He instructs us, he leads us, and he guides us. So maybe I've whet your appetite. Maybe you already know all about wisdom. Maybe you are already wise. But I would encourage you in your life every day to declare, and I am wise. And as I look back in my notes, says to a few years ago, and it was actually in 2012, I shared a letter from Copeland's, and it said to declare over yourself, I am blessed, I am wise, and I am in good health. And don't say anything contrary to this. And you're still the same today. You're blessed, you're wise, and you are in good health. So keep declaring that. We praise God for his word. We praise God for Jesus. Praise God for wisdom and understanding. Praise God, he loves us. Praise God for the plan and purpose that he has for each of our lives. Praise him. We have more than enough to praise him for. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much for listening to just a few scriptures and thoughts that I'd had about about wisdom, but also happy Mother's Day to all our beautiful mums. And as we look around, know that there are women that you can look up to, that you can learn from, that you can glean from. I went to my auntie's funeral a week ago, Friday, and I didn't know that she was an elder in a church. I didn't even know that. I knew she was a Christian and I understood that, but I didn't know that in her younger days, before she got married, she actually went to, what's it called, Deacon School? Some Deacon University thing up in Adelaide, and I didn't know that. But I didn't realise for so many years that she was actually an elder in a church, and it was like, wow, God, I didn't know that. So it's kind of put in my mind that we need to be looking up to your women, like of wisdom, you know, the women that you know, the women that are in the Lord. And I love Lisa Bevere. I love Gloria Copeland. There's so many women that are so wise in what they share, and we need to be, well, I'm talking women now, there's many men too, don't get me wrong, but we need to just glean from them and learn from them. But then when I look around the room, I see all the beautiful women here. And I go, wow, God, there is so much to glean from each one of you as well, because you're all beautiful, you're all precious in the sight of the Lord. And he said to Chris through the week, I love Pam. Like I think we came home from church on Sunday, and I said, Pam just amazes me. She's always just Pam. And I don't say that dishearteningly. I say encouragingly, because you're always the same. Doesn't matter what life has thrown you. You're always loving God. You're always learning. You're always wanting to know him more and go deeper. And I love that about you. I so, so do. So be encouraged. But there's each of you. You've all got something in your heart that Jesus loves about you, and that you're his daughter, and men, you're his sons, and he loves each one of you. Amen? Amen.